So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our help in time of need. You are our help in all the troubles of life and all the things that come our way. You are the one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. You are our help. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. And we praise you today. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Let's say thank you again, choir, orchestra, Steve and Lori. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest here with us today, we're honored to have you here. Psalm 55 is where I'd like for you to find your place in the middle of your Bibles. If you'll find Psalm 55, and if you'll also find Psalm number 38, we'll be looking at both of these Psalms today, Psalm 55 and Psalm 38. So these days I'm sharing with our church the importance of a very important principle, and that is the importance of changing your mind. This has to do with what the Bible calls repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about changing our mind. If you weren't with us last week, I talked about the fact that many times people live with a stubborn mind. They've made up their mind. Others live with a confused mind. That is that they don't know what to do. They're confused. They can't make up their mind. But the important thing for all of us, if we're going to have a growing, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we must understand and practice the principle of changing our mind and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of sin. So I ask you today as you come here, some of you, I'm going to ask you this, what is the condition of your mind today? You've driven here, and I'm very aware, many of our people drive from long distances to come here and be at our church, and God bless you. This is your church, and you make an effort to get here. You got up early, you made your preparations to come. But as you got up and as you were getting dressed, your mind, you were thinking about things in your mind. Your mind was moving along. What's in your mind today? That becomes very important. I'm asking you this question as your pastor because I'm convinced. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it and experienced it in my ministry life that you can't go far in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if your mind is not transformed and changed by the power of God. You're not going to go. You're not going to get there. And so all of us here today are living in some condition of mind. So I ask you today, what is your condition of mind? I also mentioned to you the words from Ezekiel chapter 33. God spoke to Ezekiel and said to him, this is somewhat of a theme verse I'll be mentioning each week. As I live, declares the Lord God, please pay attention, this is what the Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked, notice the words, turn from his way and live. That's it. Change your mind and live. Change your mind and live. Here's what God says. Turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die? So before all of us in this room, there is this option. Some of you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're far away from God right now. Your mind is occupied, preoccupied with things that have nothing to do with God, your relationship with Him. Your minds are, that's why I'm asking you, what's the condition of your mind today as you come in to worship today? It was hard for you to focus on the words as we sang praise to the Lord Jesus. Hard for you even now to get focused around what I'm going to say. Your mind is in some condition. Everyone here, all of us live with various conditions of mind. One day it's one way, one day it's another. And there are reasons that cause the changes in our mind. And that's what we're talking about these days. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to look at two examples from the life of David. A man after God's own heart. A man who was very honest about his emotions and his feelings, because our state of mind has to do with our emotions and our feelings. So we're going to read these words that are somewhat shocking to us. As we read, I'm going to go back and begin reading in verse number 2. Give heed to me. This is David praying to God. Give heed to me and answer me. Now please notice the language, dear friends. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. Notice then his confession. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, by asking this question, why do I feel agitated? Why do I feel agitated? Last week we asked the question, why do I feel guilty? In these early weeks of talking to you about changing your mind, I want to talk about various conditions of the mind. This may not be true for you today, but I assure you that even though you may not be agitated in your mind today, there will be a day, there may be later today, a time when you are agitated in your mind. I ask these words specifically with the word feeling involved, because there are men in here who lie every day. They act like they have no feelings. They're lying. They have feelings. Everyone here has feelings. Feelings are produced in us. Why? What happens? Well, feelings come and the conscience produces, because we've sinned, we've done wrong, anxiety and fear. And we are troubled about our condition because we've not lived in relationship with God as we ought to. There are a lot of people who make excuses about feelings. Some deny they have feelings. Others focus completely on their feelings. Their whole life is spent talking to everybody about the way they feel. They don't want to change anything. They just enjoy having these emotional fits and feelings. But in the middle, there's a large group of people in the world today who last night could not stop the agitation in their mind, and they drank alcohol until they were drunk and their mind was numbed. There are other people last night who took all kinds, perhaps prescription drugs, right out of the counter at the house, belonging maybe to someone else. What a terrible problem in the United States of America and right here in Middle Tennessee. And they took those prescription drugs. Why? For one simple reason. Oh, it wasn't just the pain of their body. They wanted to do something to stop the agitation in their mind, or some other kind of drugs. Or they got up yesterday morning and worked till dark, working as hard as they could, thinking that if I just work hard and if I just stay busy, I won't think all these tormenting, agitating thoughts, but as soon as they stop, the thoughts roar back into their minds. And I could illustrate in many other ways. Why do I feel agitated? Well, you see, if you're going to calm and quiet your mind, and by the way, that's what everybody wants. That's why people take alcohol. That's why they drink. That's why they take drugs. That's why they obsess on possessions, or they obsess on illicit sexual relationships, or whatever you want to pick. They do these things to try to calm and quiet their mind. Listen, friend, unless your mind is transformed by the power of God, you will never, ever get rid of an agitated mind. It is a deep and sad and serious condition. That's why I'm spending the time speaking to you about these very important matters. So first we see from David in Psalm 55, the confession of emotional agitation. First, you see, if I'm going to deal and come to a place where I can see my mind experience calm, first I must admit or ask, why do I feel like I feel? Some of you need today, that's the first step towards spiritual wholeness in your life. That's the first step towards you having a good living relationship with God. You must pause today and ask, whatever condition your mind is in, a distracted mind, a stubborn mind, an agitated mind, a guilty mind, you pick a fearful mind, a worried mind, whatever it may be, you must pause today. I'm seeking to do this for you. I love you in Jesus. You must, believer or not, you must pause today. You're here in church. Before God, in the presence of God, and with your Bible open, open your mind and ask yourself, why do I feel like I feel? What is it that's causing these feelings, these emotions to come in my life? The joy of doing that, you'll see today, is that you come to the next step. When you understand your feelings, then you can change your mind and you can gain relief from God and from the blessed Holy Spirit. So look at these words again. I must paint the picture dark here, my friend. Look at these words. David gives us these terrible words. I am restless. I am distracted. Some of you have a distracted mind. You can't focus on anything. You blame it on your family. You blame it on your genetics. You blame your distraction on your environment. Oh, why are you distracted? There's something distracting your mind. You can't stay focused. You're restless. You have anguish in your heart. This word for anguish in the Hebrew language is an interesting word. It's actually the Hebrew word to dance. Now, I know there are no Baptists in here that dance. Nobody in here dances who's a Baptist. But just in case you don't know what dancing is, it's moving around, it's twirling, it's doing all kinds of things. It's twisting and turning and twirling. That's what he's saying. My mind, my heart, that's in, do you see it here? In verse chapter 55, he says, my heart is in anguish, is twirling and spinning, agitating. Agitated, anguished, spinning like a tumble dryer. There's no way to settle your mind. You can't get settled. You're not able to focus your thinking. You can't spend 15 minutes, 5 minutes praying, or your mind is already off somewhere else. You can't focus on the Word of God. You can't come and worship. You can't seem to get things straight. Your mind is in anguish. It is spinning around. It is going through these circumstances. Well, here's a man who is the king, the warrior King David. He wasn't afraid of anybody. As a boy, he kills Goliath. He was the warrior king of Israel. He took care of the enemies of Israel. And now we see him in this sad situation with a distracted mind, a heart, a mind filled with anguish, verse 4, terrors of death falling upon him, fear and trembling and horror. Why? Because he was afraid of his enemies. Now I want you to think about this. For some of you today, the condition of your mind is coming from the outside on you. You can't stop the circumstances that come in your life. David now is in this trouble, and he says, I'm in this trouble. I am restless in my complaint, verse 2, and I'm distracted because of the voice of my enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. So David, this first example in Psalm 55 is that we can have an agitation, feel agitation because of our outside circumstances. Some of you this week face some real decisions in your life. Some of you are feeling the pressure from the outside. David's afraid. Now he's given in to the fear of man. My friend, did you know that the Word of God says the fear of man is a snare, it's a trap? To be afraid of people rather than being fearful of God. I ask you today, are you allowing your circumstances to create an agitation in your mind? You can't change those circumstances, listen, but you can certainly change your mind about how you trust God in those circumstances. So David, first of all, confesses that he has this mind condition. I'm coming back to it. I'm asking you today, I'm not going to let you off the hook. For the next 20 minutes, you're going to have to hear it. What's the condition of your mind today? You've got to face it. You've got to determine what condition you're in. Here's what some people say. Oh, listen, don't worry about what you're feeling. It'll just pass. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be good. All of these worldly philosophies. And yet, no matter what you do, the condition of your mind keeps troubling you. My anguish, he says, my anguish, this whole idea of having this fear and this confusion and this inability to make any kind of focused decision. Well, now we turn to Psalm 38, and I want you to see it from a different perspective. The second thing I want you to see is this, the pain of an agitated conscience. Oh, we see the confession. It's real. He has feelings because he's allowed his enemies, David has, to make him fearful rather than trusting God. That's Psalm 55. But now he's done something, Psalm 38. Look at this now. Psalm 38 reminds us that sin, when I sin against God, when I sin against my neighbor, the conscience begins to accuse me and say, Mike, why did you do that? You know what the Word of God says. Why did you say that? Why did you go there? Why did you have those thoughts? The conscience begins to remind me of what is, accuse me of those things which I've done that are not proper and not right. David says to us, I'll pick up reading in verse number 3 of Psalm 38, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. Please notice the last part of verse 3. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. Let me tell you, friend, not only will unconfessed sin affect your mind, it'll affect your body. It'll affect your health. Not only your mental health, not only your spiritual health, but your physical health. All of these things go together for us. Here we see this. It's so very important for us to see. Verse 4, for my iniquities are gone over my head. Psalm 38, 4. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. You say sometimes, why am I feeling this heaviness in my mind? Why can't I stop? Why can't this go? Have you asked yourself, is there sin in your life? Do you carry a burden because of unconfessed sin in your life? My wounds, verse 5, grow foul and fester because of my folly. Did you notice all these statements about cause? Verse 3, there's no soundness in my flesh because God is angry with me. There is no health in my bones, verse 3, because of my sin. Did you notice he goes on to say in verse 5, my wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. David is now willing to at least describe the condition he's in because of his own choices. When I make certain decisions and I know that they're not things that please God, I will experience this agitation. I read on to say to you, look at this. I'm just going to read on from verse 4 without saying anything. My iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. What a description this is, friends, for us. David is our friend here in describing what it's like when we have agitation because of sin in our life. This word for agitation is actually the word that means to growl. There is a groaning and a growling that comes when my mind is agitated because of my sin, and I have guilt for my sin, and I know I should not have done those things. I'm grieved by it. And so, again, let me elaborate. Look at these words to describe. No soundness in my flesh. No health in my bones. Mental heaviness for my sin. Bent over and bowed down. Have you ever looked at someone's body language when they're living in brokenness and sadness? They're somewhat bent over. All around the world today, people live in absolute hopelessness. sadness all day long. It never ends. It starts in the morning, it begins and goes through noon and ends at night. And regardless of what I do, I have this deep agitation in my heart, and my inward body is burning, and there's no soundness in my flesh. These are the words of a man who was experiencing actually something good. You say, good? Yes, good. You see, this is the self-judgment of the conscience along with the Holy Spirit of God reminding this man of God that he had sinned and he was feeling the pain and conviction of sin. I'm going to talk about something next week that is very important, and I'm extremely troubled about it because I see it all the time. You know, it's one thing for me to stand here and talk about what it's like to feel, but you know the greatest sadness in all the world, you better listen to what I'm saying, is when you feel nothing at all. The sadness of people who live in the world and feel nothing at all. This is a good thing that David is afflicted. This is a good thing that he feels a numbness. It's a good thing that he feels badly crushed. It's a good thing that he's groaning because of the agitation of his heart. Why? So that he might change his mind. That's the third thing I want you to see. The remedy of this is found in David's experience in Psalm 38 and also in Psalm 55. What does David say in verse 17? Here he changes his mind. He knows the depths of his pain in his mind. And what does he do? He doesn't go to himself for the source of relief. He goes to God. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. Friend, that's what it's like. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Sorrow of the world leads to death. What kind of response will you have to the sorrow you have for your sin? Will you cover it up? Will you do like Adam and Eve, make your own little fig leaves and cover up your sin and hide from God? Or will you do as David, for I confess my iniquity? My friend, listen, the best thing you could do today to remove the agitation of your heart I've been describing is to go to God in repentance and specifically confess your sin, what it is you have done. You need to say the exact deeds to God that you have done. Not just confess, Lord, I confess my sin. No. Be specific as you speak. When you draw near to God, you come to Him and say, Lord, I've lied. Lord, I stole. Lord, I committed adultery. Lord, I have I've gone and done sexual immoral things. Lord, I have lusted. Lord, whatever it is, for I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. He can't relent. It won't go away. Conscience is accusing, and the Holy Spirit is convicting. And he says, I confess my sin, and I am full of anxiety. Why? Because of my sin. Before you go to someone else and they tell you why you're worried, look at yourself in the mirror, look at the Word of God, and ask yourself this question: have I sinned, and am I unwilling to confess my sin because I'm too proud? I'd rather live with the consequences of all this pain in my mind and the distractions that keep me from a relationship with God because I have unconfessed sin in my life. Oh, this is the great news of all. Changing your mind will give you life. Changing your mind will restore your relationship to God. And when you find yourself in these conditions of mind and you're living just like David, benumbed and badly crushed and groaning because of the agitation of your heart, and you can barely even get out of bed in the morning, you must first draw near to God. You must come to Him and say, Lord, this is my condition. This is where I find myself. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. He will come. He will hear you. As you confess your sin, He will come to console you and encourage you. David says the same thing. He changes his mind in Psalm 55. He says in verse 16, as for me, in spite of my enemies trying to destroy me. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. David changed his mind. Instead of living any longer in the fear of man, he called on God to save him. And he ends the psalm. The very last phrase in Psalm 55, 23 is this: but I will trust you. That's changing your mind. I appeal to you, my friend. If I could get on my knees and beg you, whatever I'd have to do, if you're in this condition today of an agitated mind and you feel benumbed, you feel broken, you feel crushed, your mind is spinning all around you, I call on you today. Be willing to confess your sin and come back to God, and you will experience great relief. The relief finally that comes from confession of sin. Oh, it puts joy back into our life. The relief that comes when we confess our sin. David says it here: for I hope in you, O Lord. You see, that's what I need. If my mind is quiet and at peace, are you listening now? I have hope. What a sad thing to say that you're a Christian and you have no hope. What kind of Christian life is that? To say that you have no hope, to be living today saying, I'm a believer, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about it for weeks on end, saved, 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 I'm saved. But you're living in hopelessness, then something is wrong in your life. And I would begin by pressing on this: perhaps it's unconfessed sin, stubbornness of mind, and unwillingness to change. David says, here's the relief. As a result of trusting God, I hope in you. As a result of confessing his sin, I hope in you. And he says, you will answer, O Lord my God. The relief of being forgiven of sin and guilt being removed. The relief of an accusing conscience. You see, next week when we talk about a dead, seared conscience, this is the danger that so many have found themselves on the borders of today. They don't feel anything. Their conscience no longer accuses or excuses. Their conscience is deadened, like it's been seared and all the nerve endings are gone. Oh, my friend, how I appeal to you. Don't put yourself in a condition where you have no conscience, where you lack any spiritual feelings, and all you do is go through life like a robot without any emotion, without any desire. That's not the way God made you. He made you to experience the glories of what I call spiritually good emotions. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness that are shown to others, because inside there is a quiet peace and hope in your mind. What is the condition of your mind today? Well, I ask you these questions as we leave today because I want to push this point home. If I haven't already made my point, let me make it again. First of all, are you living in emotional agitation? Why is that? Why are you agitated today? Well, you know, my wife, she would just get it straightened out. I wouldn't. Oh, wait, don't. This isn't about somebody else. This is about you. Why is it that in your mind you are living with emotional agitation? Do you know the reason for it? And are you ignoring it? Oh, thank goodness, it's 11:26 and the preacher's just about done and I don't have to hear about this anymore. I've checked off my box today. Oh, I don't want to listen to this anymore. Let's go home and turn on the TV. Boy, that'll help us, won't it? That'll help you to get some real comfort. Turn that thing on. Let's go out and do something. Let's go. I don't think you caught this. Maybe I should say it. I'm violating my own rule, but I don't care. I'm going to read it to you again. Did you notice what David said in Psalm 38? Psalm 55. He says, I'm in this terrible condition. My heart is in anguish. Terrors of death have fallen on me. This is verse 4. Fear and trembling have come upon me. And then you know what he says? Verse 6. I'm going to go on spring break. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to move to another place. And if I move, I won't have any problem with my mind. Lie, lie, lie. Because you take your mind with you on your vacation. You take your mind in whatever condition it's in and your heart is in when you move to another city or town. You can't get away from it. You pack your bags, you put them all in there, you throw your things away before you move away, and you think, I'm done with that, and you get there, and the same troubling feelings greet you at the door of your new house. Or the place you go on vacation. Oh, if I can just go rest. I'm reading it again. I'm reading from the Word of God. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. He had no airliner to fly on. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away. And look at this. I'd be at rest. Some of you young people. If I could just get out of Dixon. Well, even if you move to Kingston Springs, you got the same problem. I'll just move. I'll go to another state. I'll get out of Tennessee. Boy, I'll go somewhere else. I'm going to go out in the wilderness. I'm going to go to Montana. I'm going to go live up in the Rocky Mountains, and I'm going to have rest. I'll lodge far away, and I'll lodge in the wilderness. This means so much in the psalm that David gives us the signal here, the wonderful blessed pause that we read in the psalms when it says Selah. That means pause right here. Think about what David is saying. Take it to your heart. When you're in this condition and you say, look, I'll just run away. That's what I'll do. You run away with your mind and all of your troubles, my friend. You must face them. You must ask yourself, why do I feel this way? And you must change your mind to live. That's what David teaches us here. You see, if you hasten to the place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest, he thought, well, I'll have rest. If I change locations, I'll be fine. No. You must change your heart, not your location. And when you do, you get relief. The great relief comes. Oh, may the church of the Lord Jesus... Look, the church is hard to learn this lesson about changing your mind. Did you know that? You go home this afternoon and read Revelation 1, 2, and 3. You know what the Lord says to all but just two of those churches? Repent. Change your mind, church. Change your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind. And live. If you change your mind, if you repent, I will come to you, I will bless you, I will help you. So this is the challenge today. Will you be stubborn in mind and die in misery, or will you change your mind and live? Well, may the Lord give us wisdom.